Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Well, today we conclude our summer series called The River, and we are going to enter into a new series. As you saw a little teaser, we stand together on His promises. But today we are going to talk about it is time to dig ditches. It is time to dig ditches, and I've got some help this morning. Eric, thank you for this awesome shovel that will help me illustrate that God is calling us to dig some ditches. And we're digging a ditch from this series to the next because we want the river to flow into the next series. Amen? And everywhere we obey God and His directive to dig ditches, His river will flow into that area. For God is really good at filling space. He's really good at filling space. If you'll make room, church, He'll fill that space. So the question today is, will you make space for God today? Will you make space? For right now, you are full of something. In fact, every space of the universe is full of something. Now, I'm the kind of guy that sees a glass that has water halfway up as a glass that's half full. But do you realize that a glass is never empty? It's never empty. In fact, a glass is never half empty. For a glass is always full of something. Think about that. A glass half full of water is full of something else. It's called air. So today, we are full of something. The question is, what are we full of? Hopefully not a bunch of hot air. And hopefully, your desire, like mine and those that were able to be here this morning, you want to make room for the best. You want to make room for the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so, today, as we conclude our series, The River, we're going to talk about digging ditches. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. Verse 18 is where we'll begin today. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us deliberate over the next steps to take together. Let us talk about, God says, let's talk about our next steps together. Yahweh promises you over and over that your sin stained you like a scarlet. Though your sins stain you like a scarlet, I will whiten them like bright new fallen snow. Even though they are deep like red crimson, they will be made white like wool. If you have a willing heart to let me help you, and if you obey me, you will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest. But if you are stubborn and refuse to obey, the sword will eat you instead. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Let's pray. Yahweh, Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Father, Abba, Daddy, we come before you because your Son, Jesus, made a way for us to come. And you have called us, even in this passage, you have called us to deliberate, to discuss where we are going together. Jesus, take the wheel of our lives. Jesus, show us the way. For you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Holy Spirit, help us. Give us wisdom today. Give us understanding. Give us counsel today. Help us incline our hearts toward Jesus, toward God Almighty, toward his purposes and his ways. Holy Spirit, fill us with your power. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears to hear what God is saying today. In Jesus, I pray in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Now turn to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, where you'll discover where I came up with this crazy title. Let's dig ditches. And we'll find it here in this passage in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After they had marched 7 days, there was no more water for the army or for the animals that were there with them. The king of Israel said, "This is terrible. The Lord has called 3 kings together to hand us over to the Moabites." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there a prophet of the Lord there or here? We can ask the Lord through him." Now, to give a little context, I'm going to pause. The king of Israel was not happy with the Moabites. They were stealing. They weren't giving what they were supposed to. And so he decided to get the king of Judah together, and then the king of Edom joined, and that they were going to get what was rightfully theirs. They were going to attack the Moabites. So they're on this journey, not inquiring of the Lord of what they should do or where they should go, but on this journey, they found themselves in a very difficult place. They found themselves 7 days' journey, and they have run out of water. And they are going to battle. Anybody relate? Just maybe that you have gotten yourself in a mess and have not inquired of God if you should be doing what you're doing, and only have found yourself in a mess and suddenly have come to your senses like, "God, why have you allowed this to happen to me?" And he laughs. He laughs because he had nothing to do with your mess that you created. You know, we are so quick to blame. In fact, here at Bethel, we know there's an enemy of our souls, the devil. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is our enemy. Yes, we believe there is a devil and he wants to destroy us. But so many people, the devil doesn't have to work in your life because you're doing a good enough job messing up your life with your own evil desires and your own decisions, right? But here's the good news. God is merciful, even when we light our own fires that are burning us. There's new mercy every morning. Just like we'll find there's mercy here for those that will seek him, will seek God's voice. But Jehoshaphat asks, is there a prophet of the Lord here? We can ask the Lord through him. See, in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through mediators, through prophets. We know Moses and Joshua Nathan and many others, right? The kings and individuals would seek the Lord through prophets. And hallelujah, as Christians, we don't have to seek the Lord through people, but we get to go to the Lord directly. We get to go to the Word directly with the help of the Holy Spirit to help us understand what God is doing and where God is directing us. That doesn't mean we don't go to other brothers and sisters to get confirmation to what we feel that the Holy Spirit is leading us to. But it just means that we have direct access to God and the Holy Spirit who now lives inside of us because we opened up our hearts to Jesus. And Jesus deposited the Holy Spirit in us that we can come to him and we can reason with God. We can talk with God about what he wants to do in our lives. Now, I know God knows exactly what he wants to do, but God is relational. And God invites us to come have a conversation with him, to reason with him, to discuss his plans. And God knows exactly what he's going to do and what he wants and what's best, but he allows us into the conversation to at least appear that we have some say in it. At least it appears. And that's the mystery of God. God knows what's best and he knows what he's going to do, but he invites us into a conversation with him to discuss what that is with him. Just like good parents would discuss things with their kids and come to a conclusion of what we can agree upon, amen? So an officer of the king of Israel answered and said, Elijah is here. He was Elijah's servant. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat said, he speaks the Lord's truth. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to see Elijah. Elijah said to the king of Israel, I have nothing to do with you. Now, Elijah didn't really like the king of Israel. And if you understand the history, the king of Israel was a descendant of Jezebel. And Elijah's mentor, had quite a few battles with this wicked queen, right? But listen, it says, I'll have nothing to do with you. Go to the prophets of your father and to your prophets of your mother. The king of Israel said to Elijah, no, the Lord has called three kings together to hand us over to the Moabites. Again, I mean, here he is blaming God. He didn't even inquire of God what he should be doing, but once again, blaming God for his circumstance. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord all-powerful lives, whom I serve, I tell you the truth. I wouldn't even look at you or notice you if Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were not here. I respect him. Now, bring me someone who plays the harp. While the harp was being played, the Lord gave Elisha power. Then Elijah said, now let me pause here for a second. So Elijah is stirred up and probably a little upset as you read this text. Definitely does not like the king of Israel. Calls for a harp. Why a harp? A harp was an instrument an instrument to be played in worship and entering into God's presence. And we know the Bible tells us this, that God himself inhabits the praises of his people. Church, we spent several amazing minutes and close to 30 minutes worshiping God. Why? Because we want his manifest presence in our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to fill us, to soak us. Yes, for sure, because he deserves our praise. And he does. He deserves it. And Elijah, first things first, bring the harp because I got to worship, because I got to drive out these bad feelings. I got to drive out these bad feelings for you, King. If you're going to hear God, you're going to need to empty yourself of those bad feelings. Would you not pause, everyone, before you ever make another social media post again in your life? Would you pause and talk to the Holy Spirit? Would you pause and empty yourself of those bad feelings? For our anger, the Bible says, our anger never leads to God's righteousness. Never. Do you know that we will give an account for every word spoken? Yeah, every word posted, you'll give an account for. Let me encourage you, go and erase as much as you can. Yeah, you can get online and erase posts. They stay somewhere forever. But if you want those posts or those things that you've said in your history to be removed, it can only be removed by the blood of Jesus. He can erase it. He can make you as white as snow. Amen? So he's playing the harp. He's worshiping. And the Lord comes to him in power. Then Elisha said, the Lord says to dig holes or to dig ditches in the valley or to dig trenches, another translation. The Lord says, you won't see wind or rain, but the valley will be filled with water. Then you, your cattle, and your animals can drink. This is easy for the Lord to do. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will destroy every strong-walled city and every important town. You will cut down every good tree and stop up all springs. You will run every good field. You will ruin every good field with rocks. And the next morning, about the time the sacrifice was offered, water came from the direction of Edom and filled the valley. Filled the trenches, filled the ditches. So, I want to spend most of my time talking about digging ditches. But I have seven D's for us today, and I'm going to give them all to you right now. Seven D's that will help dreams become destinies. That will help dreams become destinies. If you've been here any period of time, you've heard us teach about a series called Dream to Destiny, where there are seven tests that you must pass to go from a dream to becoming a destiny. But these seven principles need to be at work regularly in your life and our lives, from dreams to be destinies. And the number one, it's a dream. The first D is dream. The next one is desires. Number three, determine. Determine, determination. Number four, and this is the middle one. This is the one that many miss. Ditches. Number 5, disciplines. Number 6, delight. And number 7, destiny. Destiny. Now, before we continue, let me tell you a story about a good friend who had to dig a ditch. Who had to dig a ditch to see a destiny fulfilled, to see a dream come to pass. It was about 8 years ago, a good friend, David Turner, who many of you have met and have heard and actually will be with us in September during our next series. It's a 10-week series, this next series. God has instructed us to preach. We stand together on his promises. And David Turner is going to be with us, as well as Danny McDaniels is going to also be with us during this series. And who knows what other special guests will be with us during this series. But Dave Turner, a good friend of mine, 8 years ago, God had spoken to him in a vision or a dream and told him to buy land. To buy land because he was going to become a farmer. So he sought somebody out that knew where land was available, and he started looking for land. And suddenly this big piece of land, over 3,000 acres, it's like four or five square miles, became available. It was a deal. It was a deal. It was here in Arizona, off the 10, right before he got to New Mexico. All this land was available for pennies on the dollar. Why? Because it had been drilled for gas, for oil, for water, and there was nothing but desert land. So he took a decent amount of money, it was all the cash he had, and he sought the Lord, and the Lord said, "Buy this land, and I will give you water." So he stepped out and he bought this land. After he got this land, he began to dig. In fact, he sought out a company that dug deep, deep ditches, wells. And this company drilled down 1,500 feet and found nothing. Nothing. And so David took a pause, because each time he dug, it was like driving a Mercedes off the cliff. Money that just evaporated. So then he worked the courage up again to drive another Mercedes off the cliff. And they drilled down, the company chose another spot, and they dug down deep, 1,500 feet, and guess what? Nothing. David took another deeper breath as he drove another Mercedes off the cliff, and he said, "Let's just put this on hold for a little while, and let God maybe put some water on this land." Suddenly, the farmers around David collaborated to try to pass new rules that no new farms, or if you weren't already a working farm, you couldn't drill. Now, this was not good news for David, and that the only reason he bought this land was to farm this land, because this is what the word of the Lord was for David. So he got his lawyers and they began to hold off this new agreement or these new laws. He's holding it off and he presses into God and he says, "God, you told me to buy this land." And he confirmed he did. And David said, "Well, then, what are we going to do? Ask me where to drill. Ask me where to dig." And in prayer, the Lord showed him a spot on these 3,000 acres and said, dig the well here. Now, when he got the drilling company and he said, this is where we're going to drill, they tried to convince him not to drill there because they knew best, even though they were 0-2. He said, this is my Mercedes, drill here. So they dig. 800 feet, they dig. They hit 800 feet, and they discover a 500-year supply of artesian water. It comes gushing out and floods the land. A couple months ago, I had the privilege of going for the first time to the farm he'd planted 5 years ago, over 144,000 pistachio trees. This was phase one. As far as an eye can see, just rows and rows of pistachio trees. This is how crazy my friend David is, those who've met him and will get to meet him in the weeks to come. The Lord said, I'm going to give you an early harvest. It normally takes 7 or 8 years for the first harvest. He says, I want you to run speakers through all of these trees and play worship music 24/7. In fact, I want you to record yourself praying and then record Brother Harry and the orphanage in India praying. Record it and play your prayers and his prayers and worship music 24 hours a day through these speakers. And I'll give you an early harvest. The first harvest is coming this fall. 5 years. Crazy, audacious. Today, church, where is God calling you to dig? What vision, what dream has he given you? Because God has a vision for your life. He has a dream. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. The New Century Version says it this way. Where there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. But those who obey what they have been taught are happy. Hallelujah. Paul writes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Church, let me tell you something today. God has not given you or me a spirit of fear. God has not said there will not be things in this life, in your life, that you can fear. In fact, there is anxiety all over the place. Jesus said in this life, there'll be difficulties, there'll be hardships, there'll be problems. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome those problems. I have overcome this world. Amen. And Paul is writing Timothy, his son in the Lord, and said, stir up. Oh, stir up that well. Stir up that well. Let it burst out of you. For if you are full of fear, you need to empty yourself of it. If you're full of fear, it's because you've allowed it into the space of your soul. Remember, everything's full. Your soul, my soul, is always full of something. The question today is, what is it full of? For when the pressures of this world come, and they will come, Those pressures will reveal what's inside of you and me. We don't have to go very far, about 18 inches, to find out what's inside of people. For they are unashamed to post what's inside of them. They're letting us know, aren't they? We're seeing what's inside of people. Church, today, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you, wants to fill me regularly. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise that Jesus gave, that he prophesied, is that I'm going so the Holy Spirit could come. Now it's better that I go so the Holy Spirit can come. As you and I continually live Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered lives, and we listen to where Jesus wants us to go, this is how the scripture that the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea will happen. It's when you and I, full of the Holy Spirit, go out spilling on this world. As we go and touch other people and their lives are transformed by the love of God. Not because we've guilted them or shamed them into a relationship, but because we've loved them into a relationship. Because here's the truth. If somebody's around you and me long enough, when we're full of the Holy Spirit, they have no chance. They have no chance. There is almost irresistible. When you and I live Spirit-filled, Spirit-flowing lives, Jesus becomes so attractional. It's almost irresistible. But when we go half-emptied, half-full of the Spirit and half-full of ourselves and whatever else we acquire in this world, it gets polluted, doesn't it? Yeah, but that wasn't my intention. Yeah, but that's what came out. That's not what I meant to say. Or is that what you meant for me not to hear you say? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The power of life and death are in our tongues. Amen? So what is in the abundance of your heart today? Because the space of your soul is going to be filled. The question is, with what? See, when you fill yourselves with the Spirit of God, you experience love, the love of God. And when you're loved, guess what you'll do? You'll dream. You'll have visions of a better tomorrow, of a better place. And then that will change the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4 says this, "Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide you with what you desire most." Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide you what you desire most. He will give you the desires of your heart. Matthew 6:33 says, Jesus said, "So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly." Now that you have desire and the right desires, you can direct. You can direct your life. You can incline your heart to what? Do what God has called you to do. Incline your heart. Direct your heart. Direct the river toward what God has called you to do. You can determine. You can be determined. You are directed by the river. The river will flow. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. See, when you direct this, do you get the picture? We have the ability, are called to direct the river where it's going to flow. And where is it going to flow? Where God tells you to go. And what God calls you to do. Psalm 119, verse 112 says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end. Incline, leaning, turning away from and to. Where are you directing? Where are you directing the flow of the Holy Spirit? Psalm 119 in the Passion Translation says this, I have determined in my heart to obey wherever you say, fully and forever. Number four. Now, dig ditches. James chapter 2, verse 14. My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? Someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God? Good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Church, after God gives you a dream and a vision, and he gives you new desires and a new heart, and now you incline your heart and your life toward those things, then he will direct you to go do something. And in our passage today in 2 Kings, as they finally came to their senses and realized, we can't do this on our own. And isn't that what God often has to do in our lives? And get our attention. We're out on our journeys and we're like, I got this. And we might even be saying, man, I really believe this is what God's given me. But we go on thinking we can do it in our own strength. And God just waits. Till we get to that desert place and we're like, God, where are you, man? Where have you led me? What are you doing? He's like, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for you to want me and to need me. As their three kings, they were fully. I mean, three kings in their armies. They had this, so they thought. Even if you have this, and let me tell you, these principles, you can use these principles and accomplish some pretty amazing things in your life without God. You can accomplish a lot of things with a clear vision and motivation and determination and right disciplines and right rewards. It will produce a destiny. One in which people might say, hey, well done, man. You did a great job. Look what you've built. But what good is it if everything you've built gets burnt up and you miss out on the most important words ever spoken over your life? Well done, good and faithful servant. Three kings, man, they thought they had this. Three of us against one, we got this. Even if they could have this, the mercy of God was that I'm going to not let you do it alone. Even if you could have, even Pastor Preston, if you could have accomplished some great things in your life without God's help, The mercy of God is that God won't allow you to do it. Right now, the mercy of God is to our nation, to this world. You can't do this without me. We're going to get into this in this next series. Do you remember a story in the Bible where the people of the earth thought they could do it without God? A place called Babel, the Tower of Babel. Man, they had technology too. They had, I don't want to go there, but I'm going to, Pastor Prez. They had super technology, similar to what we have today. It was called bricks. This was cutting edge technology. And their unity and their technology, God said, there's nothing they can't do. Church, you realize right now with the technology that's just even now that exists right now, the technology that exists right now, there's nothing mankind can't do. I mean, we sent somebody to the moon in the 60s. Maybe if it was real. I'm kidding. Right now, it's amazing with all the technology and the ability to communicate. The only thing that's not uniting this world fully together is the fact that we can't communicate. We can't communicate. What do you mean? I mean, look at all the technology. We're communicating. No. We don't understand each other. We're speaking totally different languages. And it's God's mercy right now to allow the church to rise up and to allow His heavenly language to unite us, to allow the Holy Spirit to unite us so that we don't build a world without God. So here as I close, church, God's calling us to dig some ditches. The river of God was not to end with you. The river of God, yes, must flow through you. And let me encourage you this. There are some ditches that you've built in your life. There are some trenches. There are some faults. There are some bad habits in your life. There are some places you go to get your needs satisfied apart from God. And James says if we confess those faults, if we confess those trespasses, if we confess our sins to one another, He's faithful to heal those. This is what the Holy Spirit wants, to flood His river through that trench, through that fault in your life, through that habit in your life. And sometimes it's going to take some help from another brother or sister who's got a shovel and will help you trench from the river to that ditch that you're regularly falling into. And here's the good news about when you let the river of God flow into that trench of sin, of trespass, that's producing death in your life and relationships, He'll redeem it. The river of God will enter into that trench and will flood it and reform it and redeem it. He'll use it. It'll be part of your story that He'll travel to help others in. Amen? Where is God calling you to dig today? 2020 is greater. It ain't over. It ain't over, amen? It ain't over. I don't know all that's going to happen and unfold. But I know for me and this house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to stand together on His promises. And God has spoken some promises to us. And we're going to dig some ditches to those promises. We're going to dig some trenches for the river to flow. Amen? And so this is that moment. We're digging a trench. We're digging. And the river's going to flow right into us. Finishing out this year soaring. Finishing out this year as more than conquerors. Amen? Are you with me? Who's ready to stand? Who's ready to stand with me? Come on. All of you in this room, if you're ready to stand and you're ready to go dig some ditches that God's called, if you're watching and you're able to stand, come on, stand to your feet as a declaration saying, God, here I am, I'm ready to dig. Here I am, God, I'm ready to obey you and do what you've called me to do. Lord, come on, let's pray. Father, forgive me. Forgive us for not doing what you've called us to do. God, it's time. You're calling us to dig some ditches, to dig some trenches for the river of God to burst out of us and to flow into our lives, into our families, into our neighborhoods. Holy Spirit, you're a river. Flood through us today. We stir up the well. We stir up the river inside of us. Flood us. If there be areas of trespass and fault, Lord, that, Lord, let there be courage today to reach out to somebody and confess that. Confess those bad ditches that we've built in our lives and habits. For God, if we'll give them to you, you'll redeem them. You'll heal us. You'll set us free. If you're here today or watching, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, it's not complicated. It's not even hard. The hard work's already been done. The heavy lifting's already been done by Jesus. All you have to do is receive it. Just say this. Just pray this. Say, Jesus, I receive your forgiveness, your love. Jesus, I let your blood wash me and make me as white as snow. Jesus, I acknowledge you are my Lord and my Savior. I make room for you in my heart. Come and live in my heart. I occupy my heart today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.